بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue the class on the three fundamental principles which constitutes a strong and beneficial introduction to matters of the deen of Islam. And we were discussing the pillars of faith, and we have reached the belief in the al-qadr khayrihi wa sharrihi, the belief in pre-decree, al-qadr, its good and its evil. The belief in al-qadr, the pre-decree, the general and particular decrees, is one of the main pillars of Islamic faith. Most Muslims believe in this. However, a few really understand it. The meaning of al-qadr. Sometimes al-qadr is mentioned with al-qada in the same statement. So it is said al-qada'u wal-qadr. If so, then each has a distinct meaning. If they are mentioned together, then each has a distinct meaning. However, when they are mentioned separately, then either one comprises the other. Then either one comprises the other. So, when they are stated together, then al-qadr means that which Allah has eternally preordained in due measure, pertaining to His creation. When they are stated together, then al-qadr means that which Allah has eternally preordained in due measure, pertaining to His creation. On the other hand, al-qada means that which Allah has decreed for His creation from existence, annihilation, or change. On the other hand, al-qada means that which Allah has decreed for His creation from existence, annihilation, or change. In this sense, al-qadr precedes al-qada. In this sense, al-qadr precedes al-qada when combined in the same sentence. In this sense, al-qadr precedes al-qada when combined in the same sentence. The belief in al-qadr is obligatory, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in several verses of the glorious Quran. قال الله تعالى إِنَّا كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقْنَاهُ بِقَدَرٍ. In Surah Al-Qamar, chapter 54, verse 49. Verily, we have created all things with qadr. We have created all things with qadr, the preordainment of all things before their creation, in accordance with Allah's knowledge that preceded everything, and in accordance with His wisdom. An example of a prophetic saying about al-qadr is the saying of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, لا يؤمن عبد حتى يؤمن بالقدر خيره وشره من الله. No slave of Allah will truly believe until he believes in al-qadr, it's good and bad from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is an authentic narration reported in At-Tirmidhi. The belief in al-qadr comprises four matters. First, Allah's knowledge, العلم, علم الله عز وجل. Allah's writing, الكتابة. Allah's will, المشيئة. And Allah's creation, الخلق. As to the ilm, Allah's knowledge, we believe that Allah's knowledge encompasses everything. He knew what had occurred, what will occur, and all that which did not occur. All things such as lifespans, sayings, moves, deeds, secrets, all obedient and disobedient acts, or are known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قال الله تعالى in Surah Al-Anfal, chapter 8, verse 75, إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ. Verily Allah is the all-knowing of everything. So, He Allah has always and eternally known everything, both the general and the specific details, whether with regard to His actions Himself or the actions of His creation. He Allah has always and eternally known everything, both the general and the specific details, whether in regards with His actions or the actions of His creation. Second is to believe in Allah's writing, Al-Kitaba. This means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wrote everything about creation, their livelihood, provisions, ages, deeds, and so forth. He wrote what He says and what He does. He wrote what He subhanahu wa ta'ala says and what He does. And all that comes to existence due to His actions and sayings, all are written. He also wrote what is entailed by His names and attributes. All are written in al-lawh al-mahfuz, the preserved tablet. قال الله تعالى in Surah An-Naml, chapter 27, verse 75, وَمَا مِنْ غَائِبَةٍ فِي السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. All there is, nothing hidden, and there is nothing hidden in the heaven and the earth, but in a clear book, al-lawh al-mahfuz. And it is reported from Abdullah bin Amr ibn al-As, radiyallahu anhuma, who said that, I heard Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say, Allah wrote the decreed measures for all of the creation before the creation of the heavens and the earth by 50,000 years. By 50,000 years. And this is reported in Sahih Muslim. Allah wrote the decreed measures for all of the creation before the creation of the heavens and the earth by 50,000 years. The third matter is Allah's will, the will of Allah, al-mashi'ah. And it is the belief that Allah willed everything about creation, everything that goes in this universe, everything in existence exists by the will of Allah, the Most High. Whether it is those matters pertaining to Allah's actions or those matters pertaining to the actions of the creation. His will and His preordaining power effectively covers everything. Whatever He subhanahu wa ta'ala wills will occur. And whatever He does not will not take place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Qasas, chapter 8, verse 75, وَرَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ وَرَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ And your Lord creates whatever He wills and chooses. In Surah Al-Qasas, Surah Al-Qasas 28:68. وَرَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ And your Lord creates whatever He wills and chooses. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى in Surah Ibrahim, in chapter 14 and in chapter 14:27 قال الله تعالى ويفعل الله ما يشاء ويفعل الله ما يشاء and Allah does whatever He wills and Allah does whatever He wills. وقال الله تعالى in Surah Al Imran chapter 3 verse 6 هو الذي يصوركم في الأرحام كيف يشاء هو الذي يصوركم في الأرحام كيف يشاء It is Allah who fashions you and shapes you in the wombs as He wills. وقال الله تعالى in Surah Al Ma'idah chapter 5 verse 48 ولو شاء الله لجعلكم أمة واحدة ولكن ليبلوكم فيما آتاكم If Allah willed, He would have made you one nation, but that He may test you in what He has given you. The will of Allah, the mashi'a, the will of Allah, can be kawniya, universal, or shar'iyya, legal or judicial. المشيئة الكونية, the universal one, means that whatever Allah permitted to exist, whether kufr, unbelief, belief, obedience, disobedience, etc., is pertinent to His mashi'a, to His will. Whatever He loves it, whether He loves it or not. Whether He loves it or not. This is also referred to as al-irada al-kawniyya, the universal will. Therefore, Allah may decree, as necessitated by His wisdom, to pass things which He does not love and is not pleased with. قال الله تعالى in Surah Az-Zumar, chapter 39, verse 7, وَلَا يَرْضَى لِعِبَادِهِ الْكُفْرِ. And he likes not disobedience for his slave. It is obvious from this verse that Allah does not like kufr, disbelief. Yet, it exists by His will, in harmony with His wisdom. It exists by His will. He willed it to pass, but in harmony with His wisdom. Because all of Allah's decrees and actions and sayings are in accordance with His wisdom. On the other hand, the legal or judicial will, al-iradatu al-shar'iyya, is pertinent to Allah's legislation, to His sharia. Hence, it is related to what Allah loves and likes, whether it takes place or not. Whether it takes place or not. Allah commands that he must be obeyed, but this may take place and it may not take place. And that's why we have people who obey and those who don't obey. He loves those who obey because he, this command or this legislation or this sharia, it is related to what Allah loves and likes, whether it takes place or not. It is also known as al-irada al-shar'iyya. Now, the acts of obedience from the angels, the prophets, and the believers when they take place are loved by Allah and are passed by His universal will. They are passed by His universal will. However, remember this, however, it is not necessarily that His commands are always executed. However, it is not necessarily that His commands are always executed. The fourth matter is the belief in al-khalq, the creation, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the sole creator of everything, including man's deeds. No single atom or higher, static or in motion, but Allah has created it. Nothing that takes place in this world, except that Allah has created it, including evil. قال الله تعالى in Surah Az-Zumar 39 verse 62, الله خالق كل شيء وهو على كل شيء وكيل. الله خالق كل شيء وهو على كل شيء وكيل. Allah, it is who is the creator of everything, and He is the guardian over all things, the disposer, the one who disposes all affairs. There are commonly asked questions pertaining to Al-Qadr. From that, does the slave of Allah have real ability, will, choice, and action? The belief in the three decree, as described earlier, does not negate the fact that the slave of Allah has will, mashi'ah, and ability, qudra, in those actions where he has a choice. Man's ability to move, standing, sitting, etc., and to believe are actions that are truly attributed to him, to man. This is even scientifically proven. However, these actions and movements are primarily created by Allah. We know that man, therefore, has will and ability, قال الله تعالى فمن شاء اتخذ إلى ربه مآبا as in سورة النبأ 78 verse 39. فمن شاء اتخذ إلى ربه مآبا, so whoever wills, let him seek a place with for a way to his Lord by obeying him in the worldly life. So whoever he wills, whoever wills. Also in Surah Al-Baqarah 223, قال الله تعالى فأتوا حرفكم أن شئتم, enter your wives from any angle you wish. So proving that the servant has a will and that he has also ability. قال الله تعالى in Surah Al-Baqarah in 2286, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت. Allah does not place a burden on any soul greater than that it can bear. It will receive, or he gets reward for that good which he has earned, and he is punished for that evil which he has earned. Everyone knows that he possesses will and ability, and through that he is able to do or leave an action. And also man knows that there is a difference between things that occur with his will, such as standing, sitting, walking, and things that occur involuntarily, such as his trembling with fear. However, the will and ability of man exist by the will and ability and power of Allah the Most High. قال الله تعالى in Surah At-Takwir 81:28-29, لمن شاء منكم أن يستقيم وما تشاءون إلا أن يشاء الله رب العالمين. To whomsoever among you who wills, you see, there is affirmation of man's will, who wills to walk straight, and you will not unless it be that Allah wills, the Lord of Al-Alameen. Why is it that this is in fact the correct and medium way of relating the actions of Allah to those of His creation? Because all of the creation is part of the kingdom and the dominion of Allah, the Most High. Nothing within His kingdom that exists without His knowledge and will. Many Muslim sects deviated from this line, and some claimed that man has no will and no real action, and that he is just like a feather in the wind. This group is known as Al-Jabriyyah. This group is known as Al-Jabriyyah. From Jabr, meaning compulsion. From Jabr, meaning compulsion. Others claimed, on the contrary, that man creates his actions by his ability and by his will. Thus, quote, making creators other than Allah. This group of people is called Al-Qadariyya. This group or this sect is known as Al-Qadariyya. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called them the Magians of this Ummah. Called them the Magians of this Ummah. Because they claim that Satan creates evil and harmful things, making Satan a creator besides Allah. This is the Magian creed. And that's why the resemblance to them, the Prophet ﷺ called them the Magians مجوس هذه الأمة, the Magians of this Ummah. Second question. Does the dua, supplication to Allah, change what is written by Allah? Does the dua, supplication to Allah, change what is written by Allah? There is no doubt that dua affects what had been written and ordained. But the change in what is already written is itself written and ordained. I will repeat. There is no doubt that dua affects what had been written and ordained, but the change in what is already written is itself written and ordained. So the dua does not bring a new qada other than that which has already preceded. Allah, the one who ordained tests and trials, is the one who ordained warding them off by dua or by other means. So al-qada wal-qadr comprises them all. For example, illnesses are preordained. Illnesses are preordained. An ill person calls upon Allah to cure his illness. The illness is written. His invocation, his dua, his supplication is also written. And because of his supplication, Allah had ordained and written that he will be cured. So, everything is linked to its causes, which are themselves created and written. Question 3. What is the correct response to someone who, when called to Allah's way, says, Allah did not write or ordain guidance for me? Simply, the response is, did you happen to know the unseen? Did you happen to know the unseen? Or did you have a covenant with Allah? If he says yes, then he commits disbelief. He commits kufr. If he says no, then this is in harmony with the fact that no one knows whether Allah wrote and preordained guidance for. He calls you for his guidance, so take it. قال الله تعالى يبين الله لكم أن تضلوا. Thus does Allah makes clear to you, as in Surah An-Nisa 4:176. Thus does Allah makes clear to you his laws and his deen, lest you go astray. وقال الله تعالى in Surah An-Nisa, the same surah 4 and verse 26, يريد الله ليبين لكم ويهديكم سنن الذين من قبلكم ويتوب عليكم والله عليم حكيم. Allah wishes to make it clear to you and guide you into the ways of those before you and accept your repentance. And Allah is all-knower, all-wise. Fourth question. Since Allah created everything, is evil attributable to Allah? Since Allah created everything, then is evil attributable to Him? The answer. Allah the Exalted is high above evil, and evil should not be attributed to Him, because He is perfectly wise, just and merciful in all of his actions. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made it clear that evil is not attributable to Allah by saying لبيك وسعديك والخير كله في يديك والشر ليس إليك والشر ليس إليك أنا بك وإليك تباركت وتعاليت. In the hadith reported by Muslim, I respond to your call, O Allah, and I am obedient to your orders. All good is in your hands, and the evil is not attributable to you. I am by you and to you. Blessed are you and exalted. And this is collected by Muslim. Evil is not attributable to Allah, but is in what is decreed in His creation. Evil is not attributable to Allah, but is in what is decreed in His creation, known as Al-Maqdur. Evil is in Allah's creation, not in Himself, attributes, names or actions. Al-Maqdur, what is decreed to occur, is either good or apparently evil. Evil is not absolute in itself, and Allah created it for a wisdom which we don't often realize. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Ar-Rum 30:41, ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس ليذيقهم بعض الذي عملوا لعلهم يرجعون لعلهم يرجعون. Evil, sins and disobedience to Allah, etc., has appeared on land and sea because of what the hands of men have earned by oppression and evil deeds, etc., that Allah may make them taste a part of that which they have done. Why? In order that they may return by repenting to Him and begging His pardon. The appearance of evil on land and sea is evil in itself, but there is also great wisdom and good behind it, in order that people may return to Allah. Cutting off the thief's hand or stoning the adulterer is an evil thing for the thief and the adulterer. But it is good for them in one respect, because it is purification for them, so that the punishment of this life and the hereafter are not combined for them. It also protects the society from such evil deeds. Question: does the pre-decree provide any excuse for a person to abandon obligatory duties or to commit sins, using the plea that this was pre-decreed for him? This is refuted from different angles. First, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-An'am, chapter 6, verse 148, سَيَقُولُ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا لَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَا أَشْرَكْنَا سَيَقُولُ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا لَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَا أَشْرَكْنَا وَلَا آبَاؤُنَا وَلَا حَرَّمْنَا مِنْ شَيْءٍ. Listen what Allah now says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, كَذَلِكَ كَذَّبَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ حتى ذاقوا بأسنا قل هل عندكم من علم فتخرجوه لنا إن تتبعون إلا الظن وإن أنتم إلا تخرصون. Those who took partners in worship with Allah will say, you see, this is their plea now. Look, they're going to blame it on Al-Qadr. If Allah had willed, we would not have taken partners in worship with Him, nor would our fathers, and we would not have forbidden anything against his will. What is the response? What is the response? Allah responds by saying, كَذَلِكَ كَذَّبَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. We continue. So the fact that he did not prevent us, in the same way did the evildoers before them deny and reject the truth until our punishment came upon them. Say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do you have any proof that you can produce that Allah is pleased with that? Rather, you are just following conjecture and inventing lies against Allah. So I repeat this verse. Those who took partners, in worship with Allah will say, if Allah had willed, we would not have taken partners in worship with Him, nor would our fathers, and we would not have forbidden anything against His will. Likewise, belied those who were before them, they argued falsely with Allah's messengers till they tasted of our wrath, of our punishment. Say, have you any knowledge, proof that you can produce before us? Verily you follow nothing but conjecture, and you do nothing but lie. So if there had been any excuse for them in the pre-decree, then Allah would not have sent down His punishment upon them. Is that clear? I will repeat. If there had been any excuse for them in the pre-decree, then Allah would not have sent down punishment upon them. Is that clear? Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not punish anyone except after sending the messengers and establishing the evidence and the proof. Listen to what Allah says in Surah An-Nisa in 4:165. قال الله تعالى رسلا مبشرين ومنذرين لألا يكون للناس على الله حجة بعد الرسل وكان الله عزيزا حكيما. Messengers as bearers of good news as well as of warning, in order that mankind should have no plea against Allah after the messengers. And Allah is ever all powerful, all wise. So if the pre-decree were an excuse for the evildoers, then it would not be removed by the sending of the messengers. Why? Since their evil acts after the sending of the messengers would still be according to the pre-decree of Allah. So therefore, their argument crumbles by this powerful evidence, in order that mankind should have no plea against Allah after the messengers. Furthermore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands and prohibits, but He, the Most High, does not burden man except with that which is capable, which He is capable of executing and performing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this respect, in Surah At-Taghabun 64:16, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. And fear Allah, and fear His punishment, as much as you are able. Keep your duty to Allah and fear Him as much as you are able. And also in Surah Al-Baqarah in 2:286, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala burdens not a person beyond his scope. So this means that if man was compelled to do evil things, then he would have been duty bound with avoiding something which is impossible for him to avoid. And this is futile. Therefore, if he falls into sin due to ignorance or forgetfulness or for being compelled, then there is no sin upon him because he is excused. Also from another angle, we know that Allah's pre-decree is a hidden secret. And it is only known after what was decreed comes to exist. Whereas the person's will and desire in his deeds is something that precedes them. So his will to commit the actions is not based upon his having knowledge of what Allah has decreed. He doesn't know that. So therefore he cannot use pre-decree as an excuse, because there is no proof for him in something which he does not know. So he cannot say that I am doing this because it is written for me. He would be asked, why don't you do the good and say the same argument? Furthermore, we know that regarding worldly matters, man strives to take care of that which is in his best interest. And he does not instead strive to attain what is not in his best interest and excuse himself in this with pre-decree. So therefore, why then does he turn away from what benefits him in the matter of his deen and instead does that which will harm him and then use pre-decree as his excuse? A sick person, for example, who is told to take a medicine that he does not like or desire, so he drinks it. And he is told to refrain from some food that he likes to avoid its harm, so he refrains from it. He does all of this hoping to be cured. It is not possible that he will abstain from drinking the medicine and will eat the harmful food and then seek to use the pre-decree as his excuse in this. So why does a person leave that which Allah and his messenger have commanded, or do that which Allah forbade and his messenger forbade, and then seek to use pre-decree as an excuse? It's a futile argument. The one who seeks to use the pre-decree as a pretext for abandoning the obligations and committing sins, if a person were to transgress against him, taking his wealth or violating his rights, and then tells him, look, this is pre-decreed. He takes the pre-decree as an excuse for his actions. He tells him, don't blame me since my transgression was something decreed by Allah. Would he accept his argument? Certainly not. So how is it that he will not accept the pre-decree as an excuse for something, for someone who transgresses against him, yet he himself seeks to use it as an excuse for himself when he transgresses against the commands of Allah and Allah's rights? It is mentioned that a thief who deserved the punishment of having his hand amputated was brought before Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So he ordered that his hand be amputated. So he said, wait, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, O leader of the believers, I only stole by the pre-decree of Allah. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu replied, and we only amputate by the pre-decree of Allah. And we only amputate by the pre-decree of Allah. So, from all of these angles, it is obvious and clear that using the pre-decree as a pretext for committing the prohibitions and falling in sin and disbelief and so forth is a futile argument. The belief in the pre-decree has many fruits. From that is bringing the true dependence upon Allah. Because after carrying out the necessary means to an end, so he does not depend upon the means itself, since everything occurs by the pre-decree of Allah. Also, this protects against the person being amazed with himself when that which he wants is attained. Its attainment is a blessing granted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and came about through the means to good and success which Allah decreed. So being amazed with his own self will cause him to forget to give thanks for this blessing by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the pre-decree gives peace of mind and makes the person at ease with whatever occurs with him from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for him. So he does not become disturbed by the fact that something he loves does not come to him, nor by something he dislikes coming to him. All of this occurs by the pre-decree of Allah, to whom belongs the kingdom and the dominion of the heavens and the earth. So it was something that was going to happen and could not be avoided. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this respect says in Surah Al-Hadid 57:22-23, مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مِّن قَبْلِ أَن نَبْرَأَهَا إِنَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ لِكَيْ لَا تَأْسَوْا عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ وَلَا تَفْرَحُوا بِمَا آتَاكُمْ وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ. No calamity befalls on earth. No calamity befalls on the earth or in yourselves, but is inscribed in the book of decrees, Allah al-Mahfuz, before we bring it into existence. Verily that is easy for Allah, in order that you may not be sad over matters that you fail to get, nor rejoice because of that which has been given to you. And Allah likes not the prideful boosters. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said in the authentic hadith reported by Muslim, he said, عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. How amazing is the affair of the believer. All of his affair is good. And that is not the case for anyone except the believer. If ease comes to him, he gives thanks for it. So that is good for him. And if trouble comes to him, he has patience. And so that is good for him. I will repeat this hadith. How amazing is the affair of the believer. All of his affair is good. And that is not the case for anyone except the believer. If ease comes to him, he gives thanks for it. So that is good for him. And if trouble comes to him, he has patience. So that is good for him. And with this great glad tidings to the believers, we end this summarized discussion on the matter of the pre-decree. For more details on this subject, you can refer to the book, the Salaf's understanding of the Al-Qadha wal-Qadr, and most of this also is found now on the site. You go to this link. This is added today. You can, inshallah ta'ala, download it. It contains the summary of this discussion. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept it and to make it a benefit for myself and for all of you. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.